Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. I am your handicapped host, James Cox, and I have another interview today. His name is Gabe Shillman. Did I pronounce your last name right?
Absolutely, Gabe Shillman.
Sometimes I get that wrong, yes sir. So Gabe is a full-time songwriter. He's currently working with my best friend, Kane Gordon, which is the number one promoter right now. He's working with a Grammy award-winning producer, Ted Perlman. But let's get into knowing Mr. Gabe instead of me talking about him. Why don't we interview him? So Gabe, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
All right.
How are you?
I am good. Before the podcast, you're in Newaygo, Michigan, correct?
That's correct.
All right, right. And okay, so were you born there? I mean, where?
Yeah. Okay. I was actually born in Flint, Michigan. And grew up there for a while, and then moved to the west side of the state, where I've been for most of my life. So
yeah. Well, I for one really love your music because it has that feeling of good times. Good feelings, your worries go away, you know. And it sounds like your music should be in movies and TV shows. Has anybody offered you those spots yet?
You know, I've submitted through Caden, as you mentioned, Caden Gordon, number one promoter in the country. Yeah. He's amazing, amazing man. Does a great job. I love that guy, and he's presented me with many opportunities to submit songs for consideration for Netflix series and different television programming and stuff. But throughout my career, I've had songs featured in nationwide television commercials, big promotions for things like NASCAR and Levi's jeans, things like that. But yet to have it into an actual program.
Nice. So before we get going with your music career, I want to know more about you. Okay, so what I found looking researching you is you're a extremely gifted painter, artist. You know, paint art. Yeah, and I really love your. I watched your documentary on YouTube. You know, it's 60 minute long YouTube for anybody who knows. Yeah. You know, and I'll gladly link it down there below. But yeah, you're okay. So your artwork is very, very. It's better than mine. Yeah, way better than mine. So you know, and I find that lovely. You know,
I'm very subjective. So
Well, in my eyes, you're a better painter than me. Trust me on that one. You don't want to see my paintings. You know, but okay. So you paint with oil, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, oil on canvas, and I pretty much exclusively do portraiture. So
Right.
I started doing portraiture as a way to do. I was dealing with some mental health issues, and somebody suggested to me that I should paint. So I didn't know what to paint, so I painted a portrait of Tom Waits, the artist. And it turned out halfway decent. I thought, well, I guess I can do this.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, but one thing that I want to share with everybody. Okay, so I'm not for sure what happened first. Did you, because I researched you, you know, while researching you, and I found out that you owned or still own a construction company. Am I correct on that one?
Man, you really deep dived me. Yeah. I owned a construction company, a very successful company for many years, in Nashville and Michigan. And I did a lot of interior carpentry work. So I was a finished carpenter primarily, but we also did, you know, I subcontracted a lot of work that's, you know, across the spectrum. So I'm a third generation builder. My grandpa was a builder, my dad was a builder. And then I got my builder's license when I turned 18. And it's hard to make a living as an artist. So for many years, I just ran my company. And then on the weekends, I would do shows and tour and stuff. So,
yeah. Well, okay. No, it's fine. So do we still have that construction company up right now, or is it like, okay?
I pieced it off and sold it a few years ago, and now I rely on my music and artwork full time.
Right. Yeah. Well, as I understand it, you sell your artwork to support your music now, because I think the record Born to Flame, which came out in 2020, I think. Was supported by the artwork that you made, correct?
Yeah. So I was doing both, you know, and I still am.
Yeah.
Now I primarily use my artwork as fundraising efforts for different organizations and stuff. So I raise a lot of money for military service, you know, veterans causes, things like that. And I actually recently started a program that I'm going to be incorporating into my tours, and it's called the Rustic Revival Roadshow, where I pick a charity or a family in need in every area that I go to, and I'll do a portrait that's significant to the community, and then we auction that portrait off and raise money for the community. And that way I'm not just an artist, you know, a musician that comes in and plays a show and leaves, you know, I'm actually investing in the community.
Right.
And, so far that's been very, very successful. I actually did was able to raise enough funds to fund a war memorial in Ridgeway, Wisconsin. And then we supported, deploying Marines in, going out of Virginia with WeCareMarines.com, and we put together quite a few care packages for deploying Marines and a number of other things. We raised money for the Anderson Symphony Orchestra here recently in Anderson, Indiana. So I try to use my paintings as a force of good, and it's kind of a two-edged sword, because I also, you know, get to interact with the community and promote my shows and my music. So there's a strategy there, but there's also, you know, a genuine desire to be a part of every community that I go to.
Right, right. What I love about you the most is you supported one hobby with the other hobby, you know, and not many artists can say that, because I think I read you said that you're one of the only artists that can support your business with another business. I forget what the actual thing was, you know. But not so many artists could actually do that. So
I'm a very, very fortunate man. I'm very extremely blessed, and to have the ability to be an artist in multiple mediums is it's something that's been very, very hard to get off the ground and get any momentum in. But now that I'm there, it's a blessing, incredible blessing.
Yeah, because success is mainly about speed, you know. it's about your, you know, your journey towards success, you know. And I think that's what every artist, I think that's what every artist strives to do, you know, but they get so caught up in their, in them, they think that they have to, success is faster now, and you know, but that's not it, man. You know, you just got to let it ride, you know, have a good time in life, you know? Yeah.
So. Absolutely. And, you know, I think, you know, one of the things that I'm very proud of is, you know, the ability to make a decision quickly. And, you know, when I have a dream or a vision, I go for it. I don't hesitate. And that has served me very, very well. I mean, I've failed more times than most people have tried, but at least I tried.
Yeah. And trying to tap into battle, man, you know, so.
Absolutely.
All right. So, you told us that you lived in Newaygo, Michigan, and that's where you are. So, how has being there all your life or up until now, inspired your musical, your music, essentially?
That's, you know what? That's a really, really good question. You know, my songs, the songs that I write are about real people. All my songs are true. All my songs are about, you know, events in my life and things that matter to me. Being in Newaygo, I opened up an art studio, I think in 2016 or 17. And, that art studio had a full gallery where we did art shows, but I also hosted classes where I worked with the, you know, the younger generation. I taught guitar, I taught full band lessons, and, we held concerts, and, we were a very active cultural center here in Newaygo. So, that influenced my music in a number of ways. You know, it taught me how to write about real everyday, you know, people and scenarios and situations. And I wrote a lot of songs about the city of Newaygo. I'm actually out on a date right now with my girlfriend, and I forgot about the time zone change. I thought I had another hour, but when I went back to Michigan, that hour disappeared. So,
hey,
my girlfriend.
Hey. Yeah.
That's right. Charlotte. And we were just talking about how. There was one time here in Newaygo where I, you know, they wanted to put in some condos on a very popular and beautiful trail here in town. And everybody was adamantly opposed to it. And I wrote a protest song, and that song got tens of thousands of views and was able to kind of rally the community around, you know, protesting these condos. So they didn't ruin our beautiful, beautiful trail. And I was very proud of that. So
nice. Yeah, because I guess I was gonna ask you. Well, you answered it right now. Is because I was asked to. Do you get inspiration from actual real life stuff, or do you like kind of like go in your head and get into? Yeah, because I think like many fans can tell when a song is more. About real life, and it's not fake, you know. So I thank you for making all your stuff. It's like actual, factual, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's one thing, you know, that I'm not a young man anymore. You know, I've been in this music industry for 25 years, and you know, I signed my first record deal when I was 15 years old. And been pretty much going ever since. But what I've seen is a shift in the music industry where songwriters are appreciated again, and honesty and sincerity in the music and the lyrics matters. And that's something that I try to do with all of my songs, is just be honest.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Okay, so you can't be older than me, man. I'm 45. There's no way you can be older.
I'm a year younger than you, brother.
You are not old. You're young. Okay.
Well, man, you're doing good, bud. You look great, man.
Thank you.
I would have never guessed you're 45. That's incredible.
Yeah, people tell me, well, see, without this beard, I get like 16, 17. I'm like, damn, I don't want to be that young again. Holy crap, you know. But yeah, but you're 44, which is great, you know. 44 is a good age, man. 44 is a great age.
It's been my favorite age so far. Yeah. I love my 40s. Absolutely love them.
Of course, it's all in the eye of the beholder, you know, because I've talked to people who were older than me, and they just love it right there. You know, they're like, I can't imagine being any old, you know, any older, younger, whatever, you know. But now I want to move to the song We Will Never Give Up. Okay, so is this your new single right now?
You know what? The song came out about a year ago, but we didn't promote it nationally. We released it to promote a tour. We had a nationwide tour going on called the United States of Mind, and it started in Virginia and went to Mineral Point, Wisconsin, and that was the pivotal song for the tour. So that song came out a year ago, but only recently did KJG Media release it to radio stations and you know, like the heavy promotional push. And I think since then it's really taken off. It's been an incredible kind of watching it climb. We just hit the world indie charts, and I believe it's climbing on that as well.
Nice. So it is middle age, I guess. It's like, you know, not old but not new, you know, kind of in between.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's still in its I'd say it's still in its infancy. It's got a long way to go.
There we go. Hell yeah. So yeah. So you mentioned the United States of Mind tour, right? So how do you think that it connected with your artistic goals and personal experiences through that song or through the whole tour?
You know what? I was telling my girlfriend Charlotte here, I was saying, you know, I love these interviews, I really do, but everybody asks all the same questions. You're the first guy I've had, you know, that really did a deep dive and is asking some great, great questions. So the United States of Mind tour was very, very special in that we were raising money for military services causes and veteran causes. I had Grammy Award winning producer Ted Perlman out on tour with us. He was playing guitar. He was, you know, he played for Bob Dylan and I mean, Diana Ross, I mean, you name it, he's done it. And it was a very, very special, you know, musical collaboration. I had my full band with me, the Heartland Band, and it was fantastic. The impact that we made on the communities that we went to, we raised money for, you know, different organizations, VFW halls. We worked with an organization, TUGS, which stands for Talking, Understanding, Growing, and Supporting, and they work a lot with farmers actually that are dealing with depression. A lot of people don't realize that farmers, you know, especially family farms, you know, that have been around for generations, you know, they're struggling to keep up with the big boys like every other mom and pop, and there's a real, you know, epidemic of depression and suicide within that group. And so we raised money for TUGS, and that was a great feeling. But, you know, once I started putting a purpose behind my music, you know, and it wasn't just performing, it wasn't just entertainment, but we were actually trying to do something good, that made all the difference. It made all the difference. It re-inspired me, you know, to write you know, it wasn't me anymore. It was all of us. Right. You know what I mean? And when it's all of us, it's a lot better. When it's just me, I'll live in a tent down by the river, give me a dog and a fishing pole, and I'll be fine. But when it's us, I'll conquer worlds, man.
There you go. Ain't nothing wrong with that, you know? So I want to go for a deep dive on this one, because I don't think anybody asked you that. Or maybe they have, I don't know, okay? So you're classified as a country artist, correct?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, so I think that you kind of fall in that category, but you also kind of fall into the folk category, you know? It's because it sounds like you blend two different genres perfectly.
Sure, thank you.
How do you blend those so well to make it seem like you belong to not just one category, two of them.
Man, you're awesome. You know, when I sit down to write and I pick up my guitar to write a song, the first thing I do is try to find the notes that sound like how I feel, you know? So I'll just strum I'll strum the notes until I find three or four that sound like how I feel. And then I pick a tempo, and then I pick a melody, and then, you know, and by then words are starting to come to me, and I feel like I'm being fed, you know. All of it seems to be coming from somewhere else, James. You know what I mean? Like, it's not me. Like, I'm pulling from some ether somewhere, and I just try to listen more than I speak. And when I relax my mind and listen, I learn a lot. And a song usually comes out of it. And sometimes that's country, and sometimes it's folk, but it's always sincere. Always sincere.
Yeah, it's all good stuff. Whatever you're doing, don't stop, man, brother. Your music is so great, you know. And I love that, you know, because I love finding new music that's not catered to one genre, you know. Because if somebody asks me what's your favorite music, it's like, you gotta go listen to this guy, Gabe. I mean, he's like not country, but he's not, you know, not this or that. You just gotta figure it out, you know. And that encourages them more to, oh shit, I gotta go see this guy, you know. So yeah, hell yeah.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I think that we're in an era where, you know, whereas it used to be, you know, a person would say, I listen to country, or I listen to rock and roll, or I listen to folk or bluegrass. Now, you know, it seems like everybody you talk to, you know, if you ask them what kind of music they listen to, they'll say everything, you know, and, you know, so genres have, the walls have kind of come down, and, you know, people have, you know, allowed themselves to not be boxed in by one thing or another. And you've got people like Jelly Roll out there that can really do really good with hip hop, really do good with country, really good with rock and roll.
Right.
You know, I don't know what I'd classify, you know, an artist like Jelly Roll as, you know, so, or even Kid Rock, or, you know, like there's so many of them out there that are just doing whatever they want, you know, and I love that, and I'm inspired by it. So I try to do the same.
Yeah. I think that the major downfall in genres is their subgenre, you know, because you have metal, but you have like 20 or 30,000 subcategories, country, rap, rock. It's like, where does it end, you know? And I think that's really the downfall, when all of these people started making up their own genres, you know? So
yeah, it's understand.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like a new one came along every day there for a minute.
It damn sure feels like, you know? So, all right, so we have three more questions for you. Okay, and these are some of the hardest questions yet. So,
all right, bring it. So, I'm in.
Okay, so we're going to go back in time, okay? Gabe, when you were 17, 18, 19, you know, young age, okay?
Sure.
We're looking around your room. Are there any musical posters? And if so, who are they?
Ooh.
Yeah.
You phrased that question very good, man. Well, let's see. I was out on my own at 16, so my bedroom walls weren't lined with posters, but I had some CDs floating around in my car, in my truck, and one artist in particular was one of the biggest influences on me, and I don't know if you guys are related or not, but there's an artist by the name of John Cox, and he's a Christian rocker. He had big influence on some of the biggest Christian rock bands of the day. And the first show that I ever played, I got an opportunity to open up for him, and he was so cool. He's so amazing. And he remembered me for years. And when I moved to Nashville, I looked him up, and he said, yeah, man, come on over and hang out at the house. Nice. And we ended up becoming very good friends, but his music is just incredible. If you get a chance to look him up, I highly recommend it. John Cox is amazing. And then his album Sunny Day is still in my top five favorite albums of all time. But besides that, you know, I was a rocker. You know, my first few bands were rock and roll bands, and I loved, you know, I was on the tail end of the Metallica craze, but yeah. I found them kind of later, and I loved them. But, you know, I was also, you know, my formidable years were the 90s. So, you know, I loved Nirvana and Bush and, you know, all of those stereotypical rock bands were, you know, like my favorites, man. I loved their energy, and I loved how they could just write a melodic hook that didn't have to make sense unless you made it make sense.
Right.
So I loved those bands, but, you know, my earliest influences in music, my dad was not a big music guy. We didn't have music playing in the house or the cars or anything. It was pretty much silent, but you know, the things that I discovered, you know, were, I don't know, rock and roll based. So yeah. that would be me. John Cox for sure. Yeah. You know, and being in the Christian rock and roll business to begin with, Barry Blair from Audio Adrenaline produced my first album. So Audio Adrenaline was a big influence on me. You know, I got to know the guys from DC Talk really well, and they made a big impact on me. You know, I got to open up for Switchfoot, which was awesome. I got to know those guys pretty well. The bass player from Jimmy World, you know, I knew him, and we were good friends. So there's some, I don't know, there was a lot of musical influences because I knew the people in the bands, right. And then there was some that I just loved the music. So,
well, I am going to make you hate me, even though that I don't want to, because I love you to death right now, but we're going to do something harder than the last question.
All right.
So we're gonna do. There you go. There. Okay. So we're gonna do a Mount Rushmore of your favorite artists. You have four of them.
Oh, which man?
I know, right? It's hard.
Because
we named some great bands. DC Talk, you know, and ever been, you know.
You know, all right. So we're gonna narrow it down to four. The one that comes to mind right now, just because Charlotte and I were listening to it in the van over here, and I absolutely love them. There's a band called the Backseat Lovers, and I just think they're one of the most talented young bands, you know, to come out in a very, very long time. And I love them so. As far as influence, yeah, like Tom Waits, I'm a massive Tom Waits fan. I love Tom Waits. And, I think he's one of the most original and unique artists, you know, to ever grace the stage. I'm sad that I never got to see him live and he's retired now. That's a hard one, brother.
Two more.
I would go with there's actually a really bizarre artist that I just love to pieces, and I love his songwriting. I think as far as a folk songwriter, he's probably one of the absolute best. His name is Joe Cartoon, and Joe Cartoon is famous for making a series of cartoons on the internet back in the late 90s, early 2000s. But he's an incredible songwriter, and I just love his music. And then my final. I got to pick a final.
Final one.
You know what? I haven't listened to them in a while, but I would still put them in my top favorite, if only for nostalgic reasons. But even so, even when their music comes on, I'm in, man. And I used to play around Nashville with them at the clubs in Nashville. The Kings of Leon. I love the Kings of Leon.
Okay, great band, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good pick, you know? I know it was super hard for you to do, but
it's hard to narrow it down to four, isn't it?
Yeah, because sometimes it's like, oh my God, who are those? Because after you hang up with me, you're like, I should have said this guy, I should have said this band.
Right.
It's hard, yeah. You know, nobody can pick your own, favorite.
I just know I'm gonna look back on this and go, oh man, I should have said this guy.
Yeah,
this
guy. Yeah, yeah.
But, I would say, I'll stick by those for now. How about?
There you go. Why not? Right.
Okay. Next time we do another interview, ask me that question and see if I got the same answer.
Right. I'm gonna revert back to this. No, one, two, three, four. You named these four, you know. So okay, so we got one more question for you, and then we'll let you go. Okay, so this is the hardest question yet. Okay.
All right.
So what is one album, artist, or song that you can listen to, but you can't tell me, Charlotte, your mom, your dad, how it makes you feel deep inside your soul?
Wow, gosh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
One album, one song, and one artist?
Or one, yes, you could do all three or just one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh man, you know, I think. Gosh, that's a good question. James, you're killing me here, boy.
Oh no, yeah.
You know, I think that you know, pretty much anything that Zach Bryan has put out. I think Zach Bryan is probably one of the most prolific, one of the most talented, you know, songwriters of our time. You know, he's done such an incredible job with, you know, just going back to the three chords and the truth. You know, Zach Bryan has done something that we didn't think could be done again, which was just go back to our basics, go back to our roots. You know, sing the truth, sing honestly. And, you know, if I had to listen to probably one album, one artist, you know, one song for the rest of my life, it might be, Zach Bryan, you know, Blue Skies, song. Which album is that? Is it Pink Skies? Yeah, Pink Skies, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So, yeah, that'd probably be the album, artist, song that I would pick right there.
Well, that's a great answer, because I think many people feel the need to listen to true songs, you know, songs about the truth and not just made up, you know. I mean, you can make up anything, but when the truth comes out, everybody will love that, you know. And I think more and more artists need to get back to like you and Mr. Bryan. So yeah.
Well, you know this as well as I do, James. Like our generation, especially, you know, we were lied to our entire lives and deceived, and you know, there's been so much, you know, deception in marketing and in, you know, in every institution, you know, it's been untruthful at best, and. We're tired of it. You know, we just want the truth, no matter how much it hurts, no matter, you know, no matter which way it leads us. We're just tired of lies, and we want the truth. And I think that's what people are craving. That's what people want. So when they hear truth in music, they automatically gravitate towards it, even if it's not, you know, the best vocalist or the best guitar player or the, you know, the best arrangement, you know, people are still gravitating towards it because it's honest. And exactly. I think that should be the main takeaway from any artist that's up and coming, you know, is, you know, don't play what you think people want to hear, but play your truth and sing your truth. And, you know, don't say, I can't sing or, you know, it's just sing. And if it's honest, if it's sincere, then people will appreciate it and they'll gravitate towards it. The people that you want to gravitate towards it will, and the people who, you know, don't, that's okay too.
Yeah.
So just be honest. You know, just be honest.
That's what it's all about, you know.
So, yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Is that your merch right there? Are you wearing your merch, Not Broken?
Okay, so this is from a coffee shop. So it's not my merchandise, but it's ran by it's ran by a brother and sister that has Down syndrome, you know. And
yeah.
I gotta support them. So you know, I mean,
love that hat. I'd like to have a hat like that.
Yeah.
But I think that's a great, you know, merch line right there. When's your merch line coming out?
I'm trying to find a find a website that'll carry mine. I'm not sure, you know, I don't know how to promote it and everything, yeah. You know. Hopefully
well, you're,
soon,
you're
you know?
Very you're very good at what you do. Like
thank
I,
you.
I've done a million of these, and I gotta say, man, you're very good at what you do. This is one of my favorite interviews I've done. Oh, so
thank you so much. That means a lot to me, you know. I'm always worried about has this person been asked this many times, and I'm thinking so. But you know, I just try to come up with the truth. You know, people really want to hear, except you know. Because a lot of people can go to 23 podcasts and listen to the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think outside the box, you know. So, but thank you for telling me that this is one of your favorites.
I mean that, brother. So I appreciate your time.
Sure. Thank you so much for coming up. Please come back anytime you want to. We would love to have you back anytime.
I'll come back anytime, even if you want to talk about any subject, anytime, anywhere, I'm there.
All right. And let's give you a couple of shout-outs before you go. You can find Gabe at kinggabe.com. On Instagram, he is Gabe Chilman. Facebook, artist Gabe Chilman at Facebook. Twitter,
that's right.
The Wooding Book, Wooding. And YouTube, I got the link. I'm going to put it in the bottom. Yeah, but we honestly do love you here. And please come back. Yeah, hell yeah.
Love you too, brother, and I appreciate you. Get a hold of me anytime if you need a space filled. I got a lot of downtime. I'm traveling quite a bit, so I'll be there when you want me.
Perfect. And I'm sure it gets boring on the road all the time, right?
It really does.
It really does.
I spend a lot of time cruising back roads listening to the Sea Lovers.
Right. Yes. Yes. So I got to check out that band too. So all right. Thank you. And with that said, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and I always remember when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.